So the Macedonian kingdom then was slowly but surely gathering force, gathering power. Under King Philip II, 382 to 336 BC, we find a man who was a particularly accomplished soldier, in fact, a very gifted military leader, a reasonably cultivated man. We know from, for example, his palace complex, we know from his art, that this was a man of some heightened aesthetic sensibilities. And then, after all, this is the man who hired Aristotle to tutor his son, little Alexander, about whom more in a few minutes. He was ambitious, too. This seems to have been something that ran in the blood of these Macedonian kings. One of the most ambitious people who ever lived was his son, Alexander. So the Greek world has been through 150 years of problems, of struggles, of quarrels, of controversies. These quarrels and controversies have been occasioned by instability inside individual Greek poleis and by constant battles between and among the Greek poleis. Pause for just a moment and think with me. Whatever else it may have been, the Greek polis as an independent city-state, as a fiercely independent city-state, was at the very heart of Greek thinking about government and social organization. And yet, from really the end of the Archaic period, right to the middle of the 4th century, the point we have reached now, it is leagues and alliances and associations and empires constantly fighting one another. In a very curious way, that's not supposed to happen. We're supposed to have all of these tiny and fiercely independent cities. And yet what we have are shifting coalitions, this group against that group, another group against yet another. The polis had, quite simply, failed as an effective agent of political organization. But as the polis is failing before the Greeks' eyes, and as Macedon is emerging before their eyes as well, to the extent that they were paying attention, down in the Greek world, we begin to see some very interesting reflections on government. Some of these very much attuned to the issues of the day. Some of these, we might almost say, bewilderingly out of step with what people ought to have been able to see with their own two eyes. In a sense, we can say that certain people, Plato and Aristotle, so we're going to come back to them for a moment or two, were imagining ideal kinds of states. Well, they may have been occasioned to think of ideal states because the ones they had sure didn't seem to work very well. And then other thinkers were elaborating a doctrine, an idea, a complex of ideas that we call Pan-Hellenism, all Greekism, a way of trying to forge the Greeks together. All right, ideal solutions first, then, in the midst of all this trouble, all this struggle, all this chaos. Aristotle, and I hope you'll recall that we had mentioned this in an earlier lecture, had said that man is a political animal. That is to say, man is an animal who by nature lives in a polis. So Aristotle was not willing to abandon the polis as the locus for his thinking about government, about politics, and so on. Indeed, he and his pupils, and I repeat a point again that I had made in an earlier lecture, studied 158 of them. You may recall my mentioning, we don't have all of those studies, and it would be wonderful if we did. Aristotle himself studied the Constitution of Athens. In reflecting on all of these different kinds of political organizations, all of these poleis that had existed at one time or another, in one place or another, and I think, too, in reflecting on the inescapable reality of the history that these poleis, the rather sad history that these poleis had made over some 100, 150 years, let's say since the Persian Wars, Aristotle began to think about how a state might actually be organized. He said that in the first place, a state should be governed by a few, by an oligarchy. Oligos in Greek means few, archy again means rule, so an oligarchy is a rule by a few. Which few? Well, that seems self-evident to Aristotle, and probably would to any of us if we thought about it for a minute. The best. We want the best citizens to rule. Hoi aristoi. We want aristocracy. Now, you'll recall, perhaps, when we were talking about the critiques of democracy, of Periclean democracy, that there were a number of writers who said that one of the problems here is that it does not bring forward the best. So, in a sense, and Aristotle was one of those critics, thinking back about that earlier time. But now, in a sense, we see that thinking in its own context and in its